This month marks the 200th anniversary of Jane Austen's death, and it is a truth universally acknowledged that Jane Austen fans must be in want of a stage adaptation. See what we did there? The opening line of one of Austen's most adored works, Pride and Prejudice, the story of the five Bennet sisters and various potential grooms, including Misters Bingley and Darcy, is, "It is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of a good fortune must be in want of a wife." The new stage adaptation by playwright and actor Kate Hamill, on stage at the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival in Garrison, New York, is Jane Austen like you've never seen it. Some of the Bennet sisters are played by men, and then there's a disco scene where an enthusiastic Mr. Bingley coaxes a reluctant Mr. Darcy to dance in a fist-pumping group formation at the Long's Ball.
Darcy! Have you ever seen a livelier company?
It is loud.
Hamill stars as Elizabeth Bennet opposite her real-life boyfriend Jason O'Connell as Mr. Darcy. She joins us from the festival where the show runs through Labor Day before moving to New York in November. Kate, welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so pleased to be here.
Well, so much fun to think about this adaptation, but did you write it just so you could play Elizabeth?
Definitely not. It would be a lot of work to put in. You know, this is my second Jane Austen adaptation. Mm-hmm. The first one I wrote was Sense and Sensibility, which ran for about a year off Broadway with Bedlam. And I really wanted to do the Austens in the order that she wrote them. Pride and Prejudice was next. And it's also sort of the biggest Austen mountain to climb because it's the most famous.
Okay, so why Jane Austen and why do this? Are you a Janeite, which of course is what the devoted fans of Jane Austen are called? There's books written, in fact, one of them was written by Claudia Johnson. It's the history of Austen cults. There are real cults. And in it, Johnson describes Jane Austen as a life that passed calmly and smoothly, resembling some translucent stream which meanders through our English meadows. Are you a Janeite?
I would have to, in fact, define myself as a Janeite. I always think that it's funny that Johnson described her in this very docile way because she was very cutting and funny and witty and incisive and sarcastic and could be quite mean if you read her letters. So I always thought it was so funny that she's thought of as this very placid person and as a very placid storyteller.
Well, I would add, you know, take that, critics who kind of eye roll at Jane Austen and misunderstand that hers are just stories about young women desperate to get married. In the time, they had so few choices, and there was a whole societal thing going on. But as you said, in many cases, including Elizabeth's, they turned down a lot of suitors, too.
Yeah. Well, I actually think there is an element of sexism in how Jane Austen is popularly thought of because she's sort of dismissed as someone who wrote romantic comedies. And it's true that the romance and the love of them is so beautiful, but actually the comedy and the social commentary in it is just as good as any other preeminent male writer. They're very pointed novels, and that's part of what I love so much about them.
Well, back to Pride and Prejudice. Elizabeth, the oldest sister, hikes through the mud to help an ill sister, travels the globe, it sometimes feels like, helping other people before realizing that she has misread Mr. Darcy. After all, he is Colin Firth. Oh, wait, that's the movie. And she decides that he's the one. But let's listen to a little of what you've done here. This is the very beginning when Elizabeth and her four sisters are being led, and in your adaptation, military style, by their mother, Mrs. Bennet, to a ball at the Bingley's house. Mr. Bingley, seen as quite a catch. Let's just listen there to this march to the ball. Quite like that. But, I mean, this is not your grandmother's Jane Austen. What else were you trying to do here?
I'm a big believer that when you're creating an adaptation or, in fact, any piece of art, that you should have a strong point of view on it. And one of the big challenges for me writing Pride and Prejudice was it's so popular and it's been done so many times that there actually are pretty good straightforward versions of it out there. I would say the BBC series is a really incredible example of that. And I love to create pieces of theater that are highly theatrical and that are surprising. What I like to do is for the audience to come in expecting something and come out being like, wow, that was completely different from what I expected. We think of it as this dated text, but the truth is all of these rules and behaviors around love, we still very much follow today. You know, there are literally books out there called The Rules and The Game. And it's particularly codified for young women, especially today. And I am a young woman who happens to be in a partnership. And I'm someone who's historically been very ambivalent about marriage.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that ambivalence and your partnership, because you are on stage with your partner. As we said, your longtime boyfriend, Jason O'Connell, plays Mr. Darcy. And here's a clip where he, Mr. Darcy, playing Mr. Darcy, visits Elizabeth, played by you, in the rectory. Now, you're pretending to be sick to avoid church services. You're kind of annoyed with him. He, Darcy's trying to proclaim his love for you, Elizabeth. Let's listen.
Something is happening, something beyond our control, something arranged over our heads has changed. In vain, I have struggled. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you.
That's you with the huh?
Look,
what was that like? You have made clear that a part of this is about expressing your ambivalence about marriage as all your 30-something friends are getting married. And here you are in this performance with the guy who I'm assuming would like to spend some time with you. How's that going?
Well, in a way, this play for me, I'm someone who really believes that unless you put yourself into the play as the playwright, it's not going to be very good. The pages need to bleed, as someone once said. So this is really about me exploring different kinds of matches. Charlotte Lucas chooses a very rational match, someone who can set her up with a fortune, and she's sort of miserable. Lydia, the youngest Bennett sister, runs off impetuously with someone, and that makes her sort of miserable. So one of the matches I had to explore is what happens when you're someone who's been very ambivalent about marriage, and you're with someone who probably you're going to marry, and what that kind of panic of love, how you fight that. So doing this with Jason is especially evocative, and it's about learning that you maybe don't know all the answers about how you thought your life in love was going to be. You know, I was looking forward to having 40 cats later in life or whatever. But instead, I fell in love with this, you know, wonderful man who, he says, a proposal I wrote every night to myself, which is super weird.
Wait, did I just hear you say, are you saying that this performance every night is kind of your proposal to him?
I guess you could say that. I think it's about exploring what it was to fall in love and reconcile with the idea of getting married when I was so opposed to it.
Well, two things, Kate Hamill. First of all, this sounds a whole lot more fun than couples therapy. And two, you are sounding so Jane Austen.
I feel a real connection to Jane Austen. I mean, part of what started me writing, I was an actor before I was a playwright, is because I was so frustrated at the dearth of female narratives in the theater. I mean, a statistic I often quote is 3/4 of all new adaptations and plays produced last year were by men. And when you add on to that, the classics are almost entirely by men, then we're talking a lot of male narratives, and there's nothing wrong with the male narrative. I love men. But, you know, that means that women so often are playing these tertiary roles. I went, I really wish there were more female classics. And so then I was like, oh, God, I'm going to have to write one, aren't I?
See, if I want to have something done, I'm going to have to do it myself. Jane Austen.
Yeah, and it was so, I know, and it's, well, the first person I thought of was Jane Austen because she was a young woman. So I felt like, okay, as a young woman, do I have some way to collaborate with Jane Austen? And that's how I got into it. And her ghost hasn't haunted me yet, so...
That's Kate Hamill, starring in her own adaptation of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, a co-production between the Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival and Primary Stages. It's heading for Off-Broadway, though. So for more, go to hearnow.org. Kate, thanks so much.
It was really fun. I really appreciate it.
And later today on All Things Considered, the efforts in California already underway to end the cash-based bail system. A recent murder in San Francisco has some questioning the risk assessment computer tool that many hope will replace cash bail.